We're live.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Schaefer Baseball Report Wednesday. Todd Blass, Motion Freedom Advocacy Baseball. Andrew, One Tool Zyke, our NTIS USA Baseball NTIS guru, and me straight from the beach.
Yeah. Coming straight back. I was about to say, who the heck is this guy?
I was surprised. I drove up and I saw the truck. I was like, wait a minute.
I know, man.
We have a new guy here.
Listen, this is the funny part about it. So, you know, we did rent the house and it's a beautiful house. It's in a great area. And so buddies have been, you know, come down, and then sure. Some of the dads that traveled to watch the games without their wives found out that I had this bad house. So now, it's animal house now. It's like I got roommates. It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. But we had a lot of fun. If they drink too much beer on the beer deck, then they got to stay at the house.
Oh, I'm sure.
So intentionally they drink
because
they don't want to go home.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's, but we've had a lot of fun, man.
Good.
So Amanda, so I call Amanda and I'm like, she's like, what are you up to? I'm like, well, you know, we're out at this bar and everything. Like, we're, you know, 50, 60 year old men. We're out, like, you know, at this bar. Like
that,
you know, like, yeah, well, there's like 30 year old girls and stuff. And they're like, hey, it's like fucking joke. It's so funny. It's weird just to be in that environment, you know?
Yeah.
And because we're the creepy old men.
Yes. Well, now you got to be careful because it is spring break coming. Soon, so
well, so
just
to,
be careful,
to your point, exactly. So Amanda said, "Well, I guess you guys are on spring break." That's what. So now, Sal's getting T-shirts made up of, you know, spring break Wilmington, but it's going to say from February to May. It's not even going to be one thing. But spending a lot of time down, I've seen a lot of college baseball. Good. more than I've seen here. You know, I mean, because we're always busy around here at the facility and jumping out. We don't get to like lock into games and stuff like that. And, you know, there's a lot of parity. You know, we're still talking about Power Fives being the big, you know, the big fish out there. But in reality, the mid majors, when we have Coach Hare on here, you know, it's a powerful mid major. It's a Power Five in my mind. I mean, they're competing in that. They're in the top 25. There's several teams that are not inside the Power Fives that are in the top 25s. So it's really been cool to watch because one of the teams that came in was St. Joseph's.
Sure.
You know, I mean, years ago when we had the Virginia Sports Complex, St. Joe's was like, you know, it was a dumping ground.
Right.
You know, it was like, you know, just players can go there if they want to play Division I. It was like going to St. Peter's, you know, and just not good athletes there.
Right.
And not a good program. And, you know, but they came in good. Air Force came in good. You know, I mean, it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you look at, you know, everything with NIL and Portal and everything else, like you would think that the Power Five is going to have such a massive disadvantage, which, you know, if you get into deep, and obviously Coach Hare will tell us for sure, and we can definitely agree that Campbell has an opportunity, mm-hmm. Coastal has an opportunity, ECU has an opportunity. There's a lot of schools in mid-major that have an opportunity to go very far into Omaha potentially, but it's still great to see the parity because it's important. You know, I mean, it's with football, with basketball, it's a little bit different, you know? And so it's nice that, you know,
did you see Saban's speech the other day?
I did actually. I wanted to get to that. You know, it's interesting. And I think we can
sure.
ask Justin. I think, he's like, this is not the same college football.
No,
you know,
it's not the same.
He told a story, I guess, what they, you know, every year they bring in recruits to their house and his wife makes dinner for all
mm-hmm.
of them. And last year his wife said to him, he goes, why are we doing this? Because these kids are just here for the money and they'll be gone after one
sure.
year anyway. You
sure.
know, it's just it's a different time for sure. And again, we've talked about this every week, Schaefer. It's when is it going to end? You know, mm-hmm. I don't see an end, you know.
I mean, somebody has to get wise to this at some point, because if football starts to bark, which is the greatest revenue generator
right.
for any school out there, then the trickle down will happen.
Sure.
You know, and hopefully, you get back to the point where, NIL isn't that big a deal. I mean, it's going to be there. I don't think that part's going to go away. But the transfer portal is just it's out of control right now. And I think it's got to get under control. So, you know, we talked about that every week. So a couple things that I do want to bring up.
Sure.
So our You Deserve a Chance Foundation Home Plate Gala, we locked down our Lifetime Spirit of the Game Award in Gary Gilmore this
That's
year.
Awesome.
So he joins the list of, I mean, if we go down, Tom Walter, Jack Leggett, Mike Schilt, Grady Little. Yep. Dusty Wath. I mean, yeah. There's so many that, you know, that our foundation is kind of honored, and, you know, we say it every week. It's not about the statistics. It's not about the wins and losses. It's about what they've done with their baseball celebrity to enhance the lives of others.
Yeah.
You know, and these are people that have touched many lives. Landon Powell, mm-hmm. It goes on and on. Chris Singleton, whose mom was the pastor in the Charleston Church Massacre, and he led the band of white and black people over the bridge, and
awesome.
Now it's interesting with Chris. We've said this before. He first time he ever spoke publicly was at our event.
Yeah,
and then he travels all over the country now. Right. That's part of it. It's part of his gig. So that was very cool. So I saw a unbelievable baseball game. You think you see it all, right?
Right.
8 2/3, Wilmington playing St. Joe's Sunday. UNCW playing St. Joe's on Sunday. Wilmington scores 2 runs on no hits. 8 2/3, no hit. Right? Down to basically 1 pitch, but Brian Art comes up, the catcher. First pitch ball. Second pitch fouls it off. Ends up fouling off 10 pitches. On the 12th pitch, it's a bomb to tie it up. And then they come back and they won it.
Right?
But the at bat was phenomenal because he was fouling off pitches that were dirty. You know, it was up, down, in and out. It was like nothing. They weren't just one location. And then he just, but he was on everything. You could just see if this guy split the dish, he was gonna barrel something up one way. And it was so pretty exciting. Good game, a lot of fun, and good crowd yesterday with ECU there. ECU's.
They travel well.
Yeah. I mean, they packed. It was, Wilmington never gets 4,000 people. They had 4,000 people there last night. And, the beer deck was full of ECU people, but they were classy.
It's good.
They were really good. Everybody, we were all on the beer deck together, up in the stands. There was no BS going on. It was, just a bunch of baseball people cheering for their teams. And
that's always
It was very cool. It was a great environment. Now I understand when you go to ECU and you get near left field,
it's a little bit different.
It's
a little bit different.
Gets a little bit vicious.
Yeah.
But very, very cool. Very cool. And then awesome. The last thing, the Love Boat, Julie on the Love Boat. Do you remember that? That's like my time.
I'm Chafe 44.
I know. I mean, 20 years older.
I was, let's see.
20 years older than this guy. So there was a show called The Love Boat, and there was a cruise director.
Oh, Jesus was on that one, right?
And Babe and Jesus were both of them. Both those guys were with me when we were, but she was the coordinator of all the events on the, on the ship. So I have one of those down in Wilmington in D. Lee. And now we have to call him Danger Lee because he puts us in danger all the time.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's scary. Yeah. So I wanted to shout
especially
out because every time I see him, he's like, shout out to D. Lee, man. Shout out to D. Lee. So we're gonna shout out to David Lee right now. His son's going to Wilmington as he's a 2025.
That's team. Right. That's
and right. He's great. Out there supporting as well. So why don't you do the intro and we'll rock with this thing now.
Awesome. Well, we're obviously very excited to have Coach Hare on. Coach is a 2007 graduate of Henderson State. He's been in the coaching ranks for 17 years. This is his 17th year, and it's his 10th year as head coach at Campbell University. He's been a five-time Big South champion, five-time NCAA appearances, and also a four-time Big South Coach of the Year. So under further ado, Coach Justin Hare. Welcome, Coach.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Doing well.
Doing great.
Doing well.
So, Coach, good win last night. Obviously, the team's doing really well, per usual with you all. But before we kind of hop into this year and, get into recruitment, development, and all that fun stuff, we want to know a little bit about Justin Hare, your path to Campbell. So if you kind of in a little bit, just give us a little breakdown of that.
Yeah, this is actually my 21st year of college coaching. This is my 17th here at Campbell. So
terrible at math, by the way.
Hey, real quick, you got to pronounce the name of that first school you coached at.
Second school. So the first school is easy, Sterling College. It was my first job right when I got done playing at University of Indianapolis. The very next season, I got into college coaching at the smallest NAIA school in the country, a place called Sterling College. There's 475 students in the entire school in a town called Sterling, Kansas. one stoplight. The only restaurant in town was a place called Hal Don's. It was in the Exxon station. It served Mexican burritos. So it was great.
And you can get bait.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it was interesting, man. I lived in the dorms. You know, it was, honestly, it was great. Like I would not have changed it now, 20 plus years later, would not have changed it. It was a great experience. And then, had the opportunity to go with my boss at the time to a Division II school in Arkansas called Ouachita Baptist University. It's spelled O-U-A-C-H-I-T-A. So you would not have, you would have thought it was called Ouachita or something. Yep. Ouachita Baptist. Yep. So was there for 3 years. We took over a program that was 9-45 the year before we got there. And then 07 was my last year there. We went 50-10. Hosted a NCAA regional for first time in school history, and did some really nice things. The next year in 08, they actually went to the College World Series, Division II College World Series. They lost to Mount Olive in the finals, finished second in the country in 08. So, which was my first year here at Campbell, worked for a guy named Greg Goff, as the assistant for 7 years. And 2014, we went to our first regional, second regional in school history, first regional that, you know, since 1990, and Coach Goff got the Louisiana Tech head coaching job after that year in 14, and I became the head coach in June of 2014, and been the head coach here ever since. So this is my 10th year as head coach here at Campbell. So that's the Reader's Digest version.
Is it becoming more and more like home now? Because it sounds like you find remote places and then you anchor down again.
Well, it's like, I told you,
program or something.
I mean, my wife and I, you know, we've got four kids. We've had them all here. She was my girlfriend at the time when I first moved here, and she was still finishing school at Ouachita, and before she moved out here, you know, I told her, like, babe, like, listen, man, we're going to be here 3 or 4 years. We're going to get this thing spun around, and then, you know, we'll be off to the races, you know, somewhere else, you know. I guess that 3 or 4 years just hasn't happened yet. We've just been here for 17 and still rolling along, and super fortunate for what we've been able to do here and the people that we've been able to meet and the program that we've, you know, been able to help build. And man, that, you know, it's people, you know, ask me all the time, man, like, dude, I'm living my dream job. Like, I, like, 20 year, if you were to ask me when I was 21, 22, 23 years old, I had no inclination that I was going to get into college baseball coaching. That was never like, I didn't grow up dreaming about being a coach or whatever. Just one of those things, man, one of those God things. He opened a door of opportunity for me and I was able to walk through it, and he's continued to provide, you know, every single day since, you know, just fortunate to be able to keep doing it.
I mean, that's great. And I was just, my next question we ask every coach that comes on is when did you know, right? Like, you know, when did you know college coaching was your calling or even coaching in general?
Yeah. Shoot, man. I probably like in like my second or third year, you know, it got to the point. Cause again, like, you don't get into it. I mean, being able to make a living doing what we do was never a consideration. Like I said, I was living in the dorms at Sterling College. My first contract when I was at Ouachita as the full-time assistant was for $3,000, a nine-month contract for a whopping $3,000. So I was, you know, I was making $295 a month take home pay. My rent was $225, you know? So like, you know what, you know, first of all, where in the world are you getting rent for $225? Yeah. Right. And how are you surviving?
Did you get a meal plan at the Exxon?
No. Yeah. How Don's burritos, man. Sometimes they throw in a few extra chips for us and extra thing of salsa, You know, you got to make that stuff.
You had an NIL contract before they even came out.
That's right. You know, so like, you know, man, I don't know. I'm making $3,000 a year. This is definitely my calling, right? Like, you don't know, like, you know, but it was one of those things where it was like, man, I really enjoy it. I was fortunate enough to have, you know, parents still that allowed me to pursue my dream and, you know, or pursue a dream, pursue something that, you know, seemed cool, seemed exciting. Like, hey, if this is what you want to do, we'll try to help you and try to help make it work for you as long as we can. And it was just one of those things, like the more I got into it and the more I did it, the more I loved it. And the more it was just like, hey, I'm just going to keep working my butt off. Will I ever become gainfully employed doing this job? Like, I have no idea. Like, you know, and now you look up, you know, now in year 21 and it's like, dude, this is awesome, man. Like I'm raising, you know, a family of four kids, three boys, you know, my wife is, we're fortunate she gets to stay at home and help raise our kids at the house. And man, it's just, man, tremendous, tremendous blessings. And you just keep working and keep going and good things have continued to happen.
So you have four kids, three boys.
Mm-hmm.
Three boys, and then you got the girl.
Yep. 10. Our boys are 10, 9, 6, and then our girl is 3.
Okay. So if you didn't have the girl, are you like building a team?
Hey, our girl might be tougher than the other three boys combined, honestly. Yeah. So, golly, you know, I'm one of 6, and my wife was one of 4. So, you know, we kind of came from a little bit bigger families and all that kind of stuff. So, man, we've just been, like I said, just super fortunate, super blessed for all that stuff.
Are the boys at the facility
all the time? Literally out my window right here is the elementary school that they go to. So I can see them out on the playground right here. I drop them off at like, we share a driveway between where our building is and the drop off for school. I pull around, drop them off to school, pull right into my parking spot and right into our building. So,
and you have figured this gig out.
That's value.
Gas, man. Bait, burritos, one driveway. Like this guy got it on. Like everybody's like, well, Campbell, where's that? Like, yeah. Don't worry. He's got it figured out.
That's it.
Living the life. Yeah. Hey, so visually, right? Where you're at now, what Campbell was in terms of the facility and everything else when you got there to one of the nicest stadiums in the country, I believe, you know, size-wise, everything. It's beautiful. I've never seen the indoor, but I heard that was nice as well. Take us through that journey, but also the financial support that you got from the, you know, from the administration to do that, because sure, this stuff isn't cheap.
Yeah. I mean, when we got here in the fall of 2007, you know, it seems like at least a couple of lifetimes ago. I mean, the facility was fine. I mean, I was coming from a Division II school that we didn't have lights, you know, and so we roll in and we had like, you know, we had brick walls down the side and we had lights. I was like, yeah, we can recruit to this, man. We got lights. What are you talking about? This is great. You know, I've never been to, like, I didn't know what the other facilities in the state looked like. I had no idea, you know, like, but like at Washita, we didn't have lights and, you know, we built the press box ourselves and, you know, all this stuff. So, you know, but it was like, I mean, it would be described as what I would say is like a above average high school facility. When we got here, it was like just like aluminum bleachers, you know, 4 sets of 8 row aluminum bleachers. There was, you know, we had a brick backstop and, you know, above ground dugouts and, you know, bricks down the line. We had a metal wall and a inning by inning scoreboard and lights. And it was like, yeah, sweet, man. It was grass and dirt. And the surface was fine. But, you know, you start going around to some of these other places and, you know, in the state and, you know, you got a ton of really great schools in the state and you start visiting other facilities and you're like, whoa, wait a second. Like we're way behind. We're not even in, you know, I think at the time there was maybe 19 Division I schools in the state of North Carolina. I think there might be 19 now because NC Central dropped their program, but Queens has added their program. And so, you know, like we were probably at or near the very bottom of, you know, if you ranked those 19 Division I programs facilities wise, we were taking over a program that was 11-45 in 2007. So we weren't winning. We didn't have a great facility. now we've, you know, over the last, you know, 17 years, we've put probably $10 to $12 million into this over the course of time. We've, you know, in 2012, we redid the entire entrance, ticket booth, concession stand, entryway, the whole deal. Then we redid the center section of bleachers. We took out the aluminum bleachers and we put in, you know, a grandstand of 600 or 700 seats and a press box. Really the first time they've ever had anything, you know, super, you know, stadium look. So that was in 13. And then in 15, we redid the indoor, we stripped it all the way down and redid the whole thing. It's a 70 by 80 indoor facility that didn't have air conditioning. We put air conditioning in it, redid the whole thing, built walls all the way up to the ceilings and basically made it all brand new. In 17, we put turf in, which was awesome. A game changer for us. Cause for 10 years, you know, we cut the grass and lined the field and dragged and watered and did all that stuff ourselves. Brought a video board in, biggest video board in the state of North Carolina at the time. By design, we're competitive in everything that we do, right? So it was like, okay, well, how big is NC State's video board? Well, let's make sure ours is 1 foot bigger than theirs. You know, like, again, just anything that we can do, I think from that standpoint, we expanded the stadium. We put new dugouts in. We built a building down our third baseline that houses our own training room and locker room, coaches' offices. So our offices all overlook the field now. And just have continued to find little things. We built a berm out in right field and lowered the wall and just continue to year by year, try to add, you know, we're redoing our pitcher's development area. We're putting about $400,000 into that right now to cover that and create a 80 by 80 space. That's just for our pitching staff and their development. Just continuing to create spaces that connect on the recruiting front, right? Where you walk guys in and they're like, man, this is nice. It's maybe not 10,000 seats, but man, like everything we need is right here from a recruiting and visual standpoint, from a fan experience standpoint. You walk in, you're in close quarters. It's nice. It's clean. It's visually pleasing. It's a good place to watch a game. And then just from an alumni and donor standpoint, just continue to find ways to connect with those alumni and have them be proud of what we're building and what we're doing and have donors want to get involved and jump on board and help leave this place better than how we found it.
So you definitely found benefits in being almost in a remote type of area. Because Todd, you brought that up this morning. Sure. You said, you know, development without distraction.
Yep.
You know, if you come in here to compete, that's a great motto to that area. Cause I was going to ask, like, when the alumni come there, do you guys like drink beer and then go out and cow tip or what?
I don't know what those guys do, man. I'm sure that, you know, it's like I tell people all the time, anytime you put, you know, 3,000 to 4,000 18 to 22-year-olds in any somewhat condensed area, I promise you that they're going to find some fun to be had. Right. Like, It's really fun to see guys, and we've recruited guys. I think over the last decade, we've had guys from 35 different states and three different, you know, countries outside of the United States come and be here at Campbell from, you know, Los Angeles, Miami, Florida, New York, like you name it, man, every big city, every crossroads of America, people have come here. And it's amazing that these guys from these biggest cities and the towns that have everything you could possibly want, they call this place home and they want to be here because I think the close knit part of the community where we don't have a main street, man, there's no bar district, you know, but I promise our guys are having fun, you know, and having a college experience, but what's cool for them is winning, right? What's cool for them is finding out how good of a baseball player they can become. What's cool for them is, you know, when we're putting up championship banners and there's good looking girls coming to be around winners, man, like winners attract other people, attractive people attract people. And there's nothing more attractive than winning at the highest level. And our guys are committed to that. And so it's been really fun to see that grow and see the community embrace that.
Have you ever seen my wife? She's a smoke show.
Because you're a winner. Because I know you're not very good looking, Shafe. But like, I mean, you know, when you're a winner, you know, attractive people attract.
That's right.
Attractive 100%. People, man. 100%.
So, Coach,
in addition to winning and having a hot wife, as Shave mentioned, what type of player are you looking at? Like athlete, person, like, is there a special, I mean, obviously you want great players. I mean, that goes without saying, but is there a special kind of person you're looking for?
Yeah. I mean, I think again, like talent is the price of admission. Like talent is not the end of the funnel. Talent is the top of the funnel, right? Like you're pouring talent into a funnel and then you're going through like, do they have good grades, right? Do they fit the mold of being able to come and be successful in the classroom and are willing to work to get a high quality college degree, right? Like we want guys that want to do that. Are they coachable? Are they guys that, because quite honestly, like this, just call a spade, there's guys that don't want to be coached. Yeah. There's guys that want to come and play and they want to be seen, but they don't want to be coached. Yeah. They don't want to be pushed. They're fine with how they are. They don't want to be pushed to be great because that's uncomfortable. That can be uncomfortable for them. It's going to be uncomfortable in our program because we have a high standard for how we do things. So we want guys that want to be coached and want to be pushed and want to get out of their comfort zone to find out how good of a person they can become and how good of a baseball player they can become. And then go ahead.
Do you think that's part of the culture of the athlete coming out now compared to years ago? More.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just, I think it's just the nature of the beast of the society that we live in. Like, I don't think it's a 18 to 22 year old problem. I think it's a societal challenge that we have. I think that in the world of instant gratification, at 43 years old and having done this for 21 years, like I fight it too, right? Like everybody fights it because we get our news in 30-second sound bites and we get, in 260 character, like everything in this world is like that. And so the value of delayed gratification and getting pushed and getting told that maybe you're not good enough right now is really uncomfortable for people. You know, I think that those are timeless qualities that the elite of the elite, the guys that are operating at the absolute highest level, understand that. But there's a reason that they're operating at the highest level. There's a reason they're elite. Like I saw a story the other day about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre for the first 3 years. He was the 24th overall pick in the draft. Like he was supposed to be a top five pick. He went to 24th to the Packers. Like he sat on the bench for 3 years behind Brett Favre. Name a first round quarterback right now that has gone in the NFL draft in the last 3 to 5 years that has sat on the bench for 3 years. You can't. Like that doesn't happen anymore. Like there's just, so I think it's a societal problem or a societal challenge that we try to fight against. We try to be uncommon in our program. And we're looking for guys that want to be uncommon. We were looking for guys that don't want to be just like everybody else. There's not an 80,000 seat stadium, you know, that gets packed out on Saturday mornings in a tailgate the last 3 days for these guys to come. Like, you want to be the show in town, man. Like you better show up and be willing to work and get after it. And so we're looking for those type of guys. And then I think the biggest piece, the third biggest piece that we look for separated for us is we want guys that want to win. Like they want to compete in anything, tiddlywinks, cornhole, classroom, weight room, on the field, in the locker room. Like they want to compete and they want to be the best. And they're willing to sacrifice to do it. And if we can find those type of guys and we're on enough talented guys, then we've got a chance to do some special things.
That's amazing.
I mean, so you know, obviously we understand the type of kid and it's a special kid, right? Looking at the portal, looking at NIL, looking at, you know, JUCO high school player, is there a special sauce for you or is it kind of as, you know, it's an as-is basis?
I mean, I think the recipe for us, and again, it's always going to continue to evolve and change, and because there are so many new challenges and there are so many different things that are happening, we've always done a really good job from a junior college level. About 50% of our roster, right around 50% of our roster of our most successful teams have come from the junior college level. And that remains true today. And we try to be very intentional about that. We feel like that there are good players all over the country that are getting experience at the junior college level that can come and help us win. And we can help them continue to develop and get better. And so, and a lot of that is, you know, and we have a little bit of a formula. If it's 50% high school and 50% junior college or transfer, about 70% of our junior college or transfer guys are position players and 30% are arms. And then the reverse is true from a high school standpoint. 70% of our high school recruits are arms and 30% are position players. And that allows us to build continuity through our pitching staff. And when we do that, we are able to stack up some consistent year after year, consistency year after year, but we're also never the smallest or youngest crew on the field. We've always got some physicality. We've always got a little bit of JUCO renegade edge of us. And quite honestly, man, like that's just kind of who we are. That's kind of who I am. That's kind of who our staff is. Like, nobody's heard of Justin Hare. Nobody's heard of Jordan Stanton. Like, we're just guys that we weren't exceptional players, man. We didn't have a big league career. There's no baseball card with any of our pictures out there on it. And so we're looking for guys that have been maybe a little bit overlooked, that have a little bit of edge, a little bit of chip on their shoulder. And that want to, you know, hopefully get made into something pretty special.
So you're always looking for the more or less the battle tested player on the higher levels, right? You're going through the JUCO. So, and I bring this up in a selfish kind of way, because we're taking our facility and our organization here. We're dumping out our travel showcase teams after this year and going to an academy platform like Pro 5, like P20P. So we can create almost a mini portal and get these guys battle tested by playing JUCOs, playing other colleges. So they're coming in with some college experience to give that high school kid or that post-grad kid a little bit more edge to get into a program, because the development part, like, you know, again, like I told you, my son Dylan's down in Wilmington, right? You know, there's a growth period in this. And, we built him to recognize that. He understood that, you know, this is, you know, you're going into an environment that's extremely competitive. They did well. They went to, a regional last year, and, they're bringing in other guys, they're bringing in transfers, and you're going to have to go compete. You're going to have to build character, right? But he doesn't have the college experience of playing against other college guys. So that delta gets even bigger. So that's what we're trying to do with our academy. But it just seems like that is the mindset of, you know, because it like you said, Coach, it's all changed. The financial picture for coaching, the financial, everything is all changed, right? So now it's not like you can get a job for 30 years and not be over 500 and just sit around and show up and babysit the kids. Now you're on ESPN Plus every week. Now you're in the Flow Sports, and
right,
you know, there's a lot of eyes and there's a lot of attention not only on, you know, the wins and losses, but who's the coaching staff, what's the facility like, so much more. So, you know, that's so do you look to Pro 5 when you are looking at high school athletes? Is that like, you know, Petty's group, the development group that he has up in Virginia, yep. PG, Pro 5, P27, all those other guys? PG. It is a PG, PD,
PDG, I think,
IMG, all those. So
yeah, IMG, yeah, all of them.
But those guys are they're developing kids along, and they're bringing them out more physical, right? Mm-hmm. Because physicality is a big piece of it now. You don't see very many little dudes playing Division I baseball, or, you know, or we got 2 years to put something on and we better come in there prepared to go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think again, like I am a big believer in that. You know, I think there's a lot of avenues to getting to this level, or getting to whatever level it is that a player might aspire to. I think that there's a lot of avenues to that. I think the academy model has been a pretty good model. You know, I think that guys show up a little bit more prepared. Maybe they've most of the time, or a lot of times, those guys have taken some college classes, whether it be online or at a community college. And so they've got some concept of maybe what the schedule looks like, what the class load might look like, what practice might look like. A lot of these places are running, you know, college type set up. So I think that that's good. They've traveled before, they've been on buses before, they stayed in hotels before. So I do think that there is a lot of value in that. The junior college level, the high school level, all of it has value. And I think trying to maximize your opportunities to get seen, to develop as a player and as a person, as many of these, you know, I mean, basketball's been doing it for years, right? Like you've got Oak Hill and a lot of these academies that have been doing this for years in basketball, that have been pumping out high level basketball players for a long time. Like people in the baseball world might be thinking, oh wow, like this is really new and this is really different. And these are, you know, man, these are one-offs. Like it's really not. Like baseball's been behind. And I think that, you know, in a lot of developmental side of things, baseball's been behind probably for a long time. And I think the academy model is one of those things that baseball's starting to catch up with some of these other, you know, other sports and college and basketball specifically that have been doing it for a long time. And I think it's good for the game, man. I think it extends guys' careers and opens them up to opportunities to continue their career into the collegiate level.
And creates a more competitive environment before they step into your environment.
100%.
Yeah. Speaking of development, coach, and obviously, you know, I would say in the last 5 to 10 years, really, this has come to fruition is the advancement of technology, not just in development, also for recruiting and evaluation. And obviously, you know, we spoke, you guys use Blast Motion. I believe you have a TrackMan. You know, is there any other, what are you looking at on the technology side and how are you using it to evaluate potential prospects for recruiting?
We are big believers in Blast Motion. Every single one of our guys has that. We use it when it comes to camps. We use that stuff a lot to try to just capture as much data as we possibly can. It's a tool that we use. We've got TrackMan in the stadium. We've got mobile TrackMan. So we're tracking exit velos, we're tracking throwing velocity, we're tracking movement patterns, we're tracking all that sort of stuff with our guys. We also use Catapult, the GPS system, so that we're tracking their ability to withstand load and how we can load guys and how we should structure practice so that we're not burning our guys out, right? Like it's all a tool to help our guys develop better, because when you can recover better, when you can move better, when you can produce higher outputs of force and power, you tend to perform better when the lights are on, right? And so that doesn't take away from the competitiveness. If anything, the technology piece for us, because we have TrackMan up on our video board all the time, and so our guys are getting instant feedback of how hard did I hit that ball and how far did it go. And if us four are hitting in a group and Shafe's out there pumping 105s over the center field fence and I'm hitting that next, like there's inherent competition. There's inherent pieces. Yeah. Shafe showing his biceps. Like, again, like I get it, man. Like, you know, but like there's inherently that competition piece of like, well, he's doing that and I want to be able to do that too. And I want to be able to hit the ball hard. And I think the intent to hit the ball hard, the intent to throw the ball hard, there is a lot of value in that. But I think that competition, and I think that's where I think some people get really twisted on the technology side of things. Like, well, it's just too new school and there's too much this and too much that. It's like, we're literally taking all of the pieces and trying to put it together to be the most competitive, the most advanced, the most developed, the best coach team that we possibly can. And if that moves us one inch closer or one game closer, listen, we've been 3 wins away from Omaha 3 out of the last 4 years. And so I'm willing to put my money down and put my money where my mouth is to try to move 1 win closer or 2 wins closer or 3 wins closer to Omaha. And if that means like we've got to find out a way to connect what our guys are doing, you know, in video game world to what they're doing on the baseball field, like, then by God, I better figure out a way to do it, because if that moves the needle 1 win, man, that gets us a lot closer to Omaha, and that's what we're trying to do.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I go all over, you know, the Southeast, South Midwest, and, you know, talk about blasts with college programs, you know, amateur academies, you know. And the one thing I talk about when we talk about the youth, because I use blasts with my 10-year-old team, is competition. I don't even dive into the data, you know, a lot. Like, I look at it because the kids understand what the numbers are and they want to be able to compete with their peers. And that's one of the most valuable things in my mind. So I'm really happy you said that.
So to me, some of the greatest competition happens on your own, against your own team.
Correct.
100%. You know, that, so I always tell people, like, growing up, you know, even though, like, and our travel ball was you went to the next neighborhood. That was
that's right. Me too. Yeah. You made all stars. You made all stars. Yeah, so you got to go. Right, yeah. 100%.
But, you know, you're competing so hard against your buddy, right? You don't want that guy because you got to look at him every single day and have him beat you. But then you rally up as a group and you go. Like, you know, I mean, we grew up fighting. That was, I mean, we'd fight each other harder than we'd have to go fight somebody else outside there at some point.
That's right.
Yeah. But when we went together as a pack, there was nothing.
Now, so it was dangerous. Yeah, 100%. And, like, we talk about that all the time. Like, there's a ton of inter-team competition. There's, like, pitching staff-wise, hitters-wise, yeah. Right? Like, you're happy that your buddy just went and spun six innings and punched out 10. But, by God, when you get out there, like, you want to go seven innings and punch out 11, man. Like, and if you've got that drive,
yeah,
it only helps the team more, right? Like, and so – anything that we can do to connect competition on a daily basis to what we're already doing, right? Like, we're already throwing bullpens. We're already taking BP every day. We're already doing all of these things. Like, we're already running sprints or running the bases or whatever. Like, if we can connect competing and doing that at our absolute highest level and connect that inter-team competition, now all of a sudden we've got a chance to do it better every time we do it, because it's getting tracked, it's getting posted, like from our top end speed of, you know, on what our guys ran last weekend and in game, right? Like, well, this guy ran 21 miles an hour. This dude PR'd at 19 and a half miles per hour. Like, that stuff, like, resonates back and forth to those guys.
It gives you visual feedback.
Yeah.
So you can just go work out and not know, okay, I feel stronger, I feel bigger, but you're chasing something. It gives you it gives you that
iron,
edge. Like,
iron sharpens iron, right?
100%.
I mean, that's there you go. I mean, I love that term.
And winners get hot chicks.
That's right. Oh, that's great. Justin, so I want to talk. I mean, obviously the last, you know, 5 to 10 years have been pretty impressive. 9 All-Americans, 56 All-Conference selections, 18 players drafted or signed. Really want you to talk about two of them, Cedric Mullins and Zach Neto. You know, obviously two, you know, Cedric, multiple All-Star now in the major leagues, and Zach's probably on his way. So if you could tell a little bit about those two guys, it'd be great.
Yeah, man. You know, one, they're two of the best young men. Cedric's not as young anymore. He played here in 15. So he's, you know, my first year as head coach, I was fortunate enough to have a future big leaguer roam in center field for us. So that was, you know, that made me look a lot better as a coach. There's no doubt. But they're two of the best human beings that I've had the pleasure of being around and coach. Cedric is like your consummate professional, man. Like, was when he was 20 years old. He showed up every day, same guy, even keeled, didn't ride the emotional roller coaster, went about his business in a super professional way, lead by example, quiet. And it's no surprise to me that, you know, he got to the big leagues in 18 and then struggled. Like at the end of 18 was good. And then started out 19 in the big leagues, hitting leadoff Yankee Stadium opening day, the whole deal, struggled. I think, you know, in the month of April, went like 3 for his first 50 or something. And they sent him back down to double A, and then he worked his way all the way back up, became an All-Star in 22 and, Silver Slugger, you know, top 10 Gold Glove voting, the whole deal, you know, just, Because he's a professional, man. He doesn't ride the roller coaster. He didn't, you know, yeah, did it challenge him? Did he got sent back down? Absolutely. But it didn't crush him, you know. And I think because he's a little bit of an old soul, because he's got some quiet confidence, because he's been underestimated his whole life, it was just another what he says, fuel to the fire. It was just another log on the fire for him to work his way back through the minor league system and get back to the big leagues. And, you know, now he's, you know, one of the best, you know, handful of center fielders in the American League, if not Major League Baseball. And so he's just an awesome, awesome dude, became a father in the last year. And I think that's probably, you know, mellowed him out a little bit and centered him, you know, with the, you know, his wife now that they were dating when, you know, they were in college, you know, and when he was at Lewisburg College before Campbell, they were together. So it's awesome, awesome story. And then Neto, same, very similar, man, very, very professional. I got a chance to coach him for 3 years, which was awesome. Under-recruited kid out of Miami, tremendous human being. And again, like the more we challenged him, the better he became, right? The more we pushed him and the more we put him in situations that guys would feel uncomfortable, the more he responded. And so he spent 44 days in the minors, played 44 minor league games before he got called up to the big leagues. And, you know, the people walking into Angel Stadium are going to walk into a huge mural of Zach Neto, you know, at the main entrance, you know, his first opening day in the big leagues this year, you know, like it's the meteoric rise is so impressive, but it's not surprising. I think Ken Rosenthal or somebody had called me last year when he got called up to the big leagues, which was awesome. Like I showed my dad, like, hey, I got Ken Rosenthal's number in my phone. How cool is that? Like, and you know, and so he's like, you know, were you surprised? And I was like, the only surprise was that the Angels actually moved him so fast, right? Like, I'm not surprised that he's had success. I'm surprised that a big league team actually didn't go through, well, he's got to have 700 at-bats in the minor leagues before we get him here. Like, they actually drafted a guy in the first round and bet on him making it to the big leagues and being a contributor as quickly as possible, which was really impressive to me. And the fact that Zach was up to that challenge did not surprise me at all because of the type of person he is. And both of those guys, they text me on opening day. They text me in big games. Hey man, they follow us. They're all about it. They love what opportunity Campbell University provided for them. And you know, they're just awesome, awesome dudes.
That's awesome. Before you go, Coach, just a little bit about this team. You know, obviously, midseason rankings don't mean a whole lot, I guess, right, until the end of the year. 22nd or 21st in the country right now, and 12-4. What's your feeling on the team the rest of the season? What's going
to conference play? Yeah, man, it's going to be interesting. You know, we've been pretty well challenged early. Our early season conference or our early season non-conference schedule has been really good, which is kind of a staple of our program. I think we've played like six games in the top 50. You know, I think that our guys got some grit. They've got, you know, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. The last year's team was really talented. We sent eight guys to Pro Bowl, which was, you know, probably one of the top 8 or 10 amounts of guys that signed pro contracts in the country last year. And so, you know, we've got 22 new players. We've got 4 new staff members. So we didn't really know what to expect coming into the year. So getting off to a 12-4 start has been really good and a testament to our guys, you know, grit and determination, because we, you know, there's times we haven't played real well. I think we're still trying to figure out the identity of who we're going to be and what it's going to look like long term. But I like our guys' ability to work their butts off and have a little bit of attitude of like, hey, like, you know, we're not last year's team. This is a new group, and we're going to stamp our own legacy and we're going to leave this place better than how we found it, come hell or high water. And man, I can get in the foxhole with a bunch of guys like that. And that's what's fun about this group. And I think their willingness to kind of figure it out as we go along has been really fun. You know, they're going to get in there and they're going to fight you, man. They don't flinch. And those teams, when they do figure it out, teams like that seem to be pretty dangerous.
Awesome.
You have there's a 40-man roster. A lot of kids, a lot of people take care of the retention piece is an issue with every college out there because of these numbers. And but if you're creating this environment that you're talking about and developing and people are understanding their roles, there's good communication with the players and everything like that, you probably have a higher retention rate than everybody at the end of the season coming like, I'm not happy, I'm out, I'm going into the portal, because that's critical. You put the effort of development into these people early for the results. Could be a year away, 2 years away, whatever. But so I'm sure there's an understanding when they come in and you're going through the recruiting process that, you know, listen, we're here to develop you. We're not just here to throw you on the field and hopefully that we win.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's key for us. You know, I think that there's a lot of places, there's a lot of famous places, I think, that recruit good players, and they're really good at recruiting, and they're really good at putting good players on the field. And I think sometimes there's maybe a disconnect when it comes to development. We better have good players here, but we're not going to sign, you know, the top 100 players. We're not going to sign 10 out of the top 100 high school players in the country. That's just not our model, man. Like, that's not who we are. That's not what we're all about. Our goal is to sign good players that fit who we are and try to help make them into some of the top 100 players in the country when they leave here. It's less important about where you are when you show up, and it's more important about where you are when you're walking out the door. And so I think that's a really important piece that we stress in the recruiting process is we like you and you're talented and we think that you can help us win, but we want you to be a much better version of yourself when you walk out the doors of Campbell University holding a high quality degree. And our job is to push you and love you and care for you, but help you develop through the goods and the bads and be a better person walking out than you walked in.
Yes. I wish all these, and we know it's subscription based and it's all money, right? But everybody always is going to rank a player, like rank number one, rank number two, instead of rating a player. Right. So you'll have a group rated in like an A+ group. And then, you know, because you're talking about, OK, it's not the top 100 player because it was listed top 100 player. But you're going to go get somebody just as good that may not have the same notoriety as that person. And that goes to your recruiting coordinator, your pitching, all these other guys that have that artist type of eye that can see the same player that doesn't have a number next to it as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right.
But they are an A+ rated player, or they, you know, they carry X amount of tools. You know, I think that piece has gotten lost in it. But everything that we do outside of, you know, once we get on campus and compete is, you know, the PBRs and all these other things, PGs, they get, it's based on subscription. It's based on how many people will come back. If I rate you. So that's my pet peeve. I'm off.
and that was the March 13th rant of Shafe. Right,
that's
there.
It. Right
Mark there. It down.
I was wondering when that was coming.
Clip that out and put it out, guys. Like, that's what we're talking
now
about.
Now I got to go testify in front of Congress next week.
You, Saban, and Ted Cruz, man, you guys will get it locked.
Nick Saban, Jeff Schaefer.
There you go.
See, that's right. There. Ted Cruz. Awesome.
Studio here. Yep.
So, awesome. Love it.
Coach, thanks so much. We really appreciate it. This was awesome. Great insight. And definitely good luck to you guys the rest of the season for sure.
Yeah, we
appreciate it, guys.
I'm looking at your staff here. I mean, we know Dusty very well. You landed a good one there, a good one in Stamp. We've had him on the show.
Yeah,
Stamp. Great people doing it.
All those guys.
We get to meet somewhere. And then when Wilman comes in and slaps you guys around, you know,
easy now. Easy give me a hug. Now, Shafe. Come on. I can't. Come on. Like, Hood, Coach Hood's an alumni here, and, you know, I'm rooting for Coach Hood every game but three this year. down in Wilmington. So
nice.
That was it. Well, Coach, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
What do you think, Andrew?
Good stuff. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good. That's legit.
Stamp matches that. You know, when you start to build a staff, there's cohesive personalities involved.
For sure.
In that scenario.
If you just watch their dugout, right? You go to a Campbell game and you watch their dugout, just the they're all on the same page. You know, it's a pretty cool thing to see, you know. And I wanted to bring up, I remember, because I brought this up, the stamp. They played Liberty a couple years ago, and kid spiked his helmet. One of their hitters spiked his helmet after he struck out. He sprinted from the third base box and got in the kid's face. And it was just, you know, the respect, right? Nowadays, you know, some kids are, you know, will crawl in a hole.
Why do you think I say it's so skinny all those years? Because Dylan kept doing that. I kept sprinting. I'm like, dude, cut it out. He goes, I don't want you to be fat.
That's a good way to for calisthenics.
Yeah,
for,
yeah. Get my steps in, chasing my son down.
So that's it.
Yeah, awesome. Having all these college guys on, you see, I mean, they're very, very similar overall, but each one does something a little bit different than the other.
All type of personalities through the groups is how it comes out. And
well, and look at the, you know, some of the guys we've had on. I mean, we've had four top 25 coaches on. Right. So, I mean, you know, they all have to have that because they're all competing against
each
other.
That's another list we need, Andrew. All over the years, all the coaches that we've had, you know, over here, and we've had them on every level, and you're right, everyone's kind of similar to a degree. It's really a different world for college coaches, college baseball coaches. Now, not football or basketball. We've seen that for years and years and years. But you know, the attention that the game's getting on ESPN, ESPN Plus, Flow Sports, all these other places. I mean, the pressure's on to win, you know, and you got to figure it out. So in the process, you have to develop, but you got to throw dubs up there, man.
Yeah, you do. You know, listen, there's a lot of programs out there that probably don't have the backing of the school or the word caring or the alum.
I'm shocked by that. And when he says that, like Campbell, like, you know, it literally there's you know, you're driving through country roads and then there's this campus.
Yeah.
Right?
It's
a nice campus.
Think about what he said. If you go on Google Maps and you look at Bowie's Creek, it's Campbell University in the elementary school.
You get air dropped in there, you need a parachute and push you out the plane to go to college.
There's no downtown. There's no, you know, it's, you know, I'm sure there's things in the surrounding area, but they're building something. And again,
they have built something. They definitely have built something.
It's just funny though. You know, we had, you know, Gilly on, you know, previously and you know, these teams that left the Big South Conference, and now you got Coastal, Campbell, Elon, Liberty. I mean, it's just I mean, the Big South Conference is producing a lot of top programs and when they leave, and it's just I don't know what that is. You know, I was gonna ask him about that, but I'm almost glad I didn't.
I'm enjoying every bit of this.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, like when it's game day and Amanda laughs at me, it's like, you know, I'm up early, I'm getting everything done. Like, you know, what's your problem? I'm like, baby, it's game day, man. It's game day, you know, and get out there and be involved. But we've had great interviews with everybody. I mean, everybody comes to knowledge that there are a lot of similarities in terms of the portal.
Sure.
The athlete that they're going after, you know,
junior college
and the 70-30, that's an interesting
the intentional thing. Part of it is great to know. I mean, it helps guys like you and I out, right? I mean,
absolutely.
You know, 70% hitters, 30% pitchers. We want to develop pitchers out of high school. I love it.
So
no, it's great.
A high school kid coming out and going to a Division I program, and especially if you think you're going to go to a Power Five or I don't even want to say Power Five anymore. Let's just say a top 50 program in the country.
Sure.
Because it's, you know, you better have some really special tools.
Right.
Or you better be that physical animal that's ready to kind of, you know, to get out there and go.
Yep.
It's going to be rare that you're going to see three or four freshmen on the field at the same time.
Division I level?
No.
No. You're not going to see it.
I mean, it's not that the talent isn't there. These guys are men, man. You know, these are the extremely physical human beings. And we're, you know, I'm down there watching these guys. I'm like, I don't know that I would have gotten a chance to do at the level. At 5'10", 150 pounds tops going into college, no, I don't think that happens.
Yeah, you know? No, it's different. I mean, again, real quick before we go, I was at the Charlotte, Maryland game, you know, talked to Coach Swope and Paz and Jimmy. The size of these guys are just, you know, again, I'm 5'10", 180 pounds when I played at Winthrop. I mean, there ain't no 5'10", 180 pound dudes out there. I mean, very minimal.
I stand next to Dylan now and I think, okay, right. This kid is big. And then I see him on the field with everybody else.
It's crazy.
And he's not the biggest dude. You know, he's actually kind of maybe average, a little bit below average as far as physicality goes. Oh, it's the year. Another year, he'll look completely different. But
steroids, get him some of those.
I thought it was hemorrhoids.
Oh,
which one is it? Which
one is it? Probably have hemorrhoids. No.
So, but no, it's
Strathmore
Capital.
Thank you to our sponsors, Strathmore Capital Advisors, StrathmoreCapADV.com. Please visit them. Blast Motion, Advocacy Baseball Consultants. Please give us a call. Look us up on social media. Go to our website.
We're there.
Yep.
We're doing
That's right.
It's happening. We are landing guys.
Yes, we are.
On a consistent basis.
Yeah.
In Architect Sports. Those guys are phenomenal.
Yep.
Been with us for forever. So, all right. Well, we thank everybody. Schaefer Baseball Report again. We may throw in a special edition here with two players from Queens University here, and Isaiah Bennett. And,
oh, great.
When are you back? 4 weeks?
No. And Dylan Lewis. No. All right. Two and a half.
Yeah. He's got to go to his Wilmington compound.
Travel schedule, man. Wilmington, then we're going to Tampa. My grandson, that was a heart baby. You know, I'll throw that out, right?
Good.
Ethan Stewart. Awesome. Heart baby's going to turn 3 this year.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, doing phenomenal.
Yep.
And I get to see my granddaughter, Elliot, in Tampa. Then we come back. And then my hot chick, because I'm a winner, and I am going to go down to
– It's confirmed.
Going to go down.
You're a winner.
I knew it. I'd just like to hear it, you know, from everybody else. But we're going to go to the Bahamas for her 50th birthday.
Fantastic.
Spend a little time down there. And
awesome.
You know, bring back my old –
You deserve it, Schaefer.
Yep.
You're working so hard down at Wilmington.
I am.
Another vacation on the beach.
I am. It's not easy to work in your pajamas. You know that, right?
Back and plays golf at our golf tournament.
That's right.
Well, you need the ringer.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. All right. Thank you. Peace out. We'll see you again next week.